Father, we ask you again to open this precious book. Lord, we're on this trail leading to a goal. In a few weeks from now, we're going to develop that goal even more so as we talk about, finish this thing about faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please you. Without faith, we'll not see the spiritual world, no matter what we talk about. And I believe that's one of the reasons why in religion today, people are trying to bring God this side of the veil in flesh and talk about things where he talks to them and appears to them and gives them visions and talks about those things that are way out there, trying to look like the Old Testament when we have now the new covenant where the Holy Spirit has come to do the work of God through the Word of God and not like God did in the Old Testament. And so we come to you tonight again and ask you to open our minds as we listen. Lord, make yourself real to us. So when we hear these things we talk about in God and his created and what we see in this world, and the world begins to laugh and mock at it and make us feel inferior. When they talk about the brilliance of man's mind, and yet he believes in a fake creation, something that science says they accept simply because they don't accept God. And since man is so brilliant today, they think that brilliancy moves God out of the picture. And Father, that makes a brilliant man become a fool. And we pray you'd help us, even though we may not consider ourselves brilliant, we consider ourselves believers. And Lord, the Holy Spirit that lives in us in this precious book, as we study the Word of God, and that's the reason we do that. Every time we open this book, it's time to study. All of us need something. May not all of us need the same thing. We need something. We need to learn to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And the only way that can be done is to study and hear this book taught. And I pray, Father, when the pages are open, the Holy Spirit will have a way, not only through person to do the teaching, but for ours who are sitting on the pew and listening, because that's what it's about. I can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, Father, but if the pew people there have not been filled with the Spirit of God, what's said from the pulpit won't go to the heart in the pew. But one thing is for sure, when the Holy Spirit of God has been blessed, what's been said from the pulpit, and hearts receive that as a blessing from God, as they have the Word of God to back it up to study, then we will grow, and we'll know what it is to partake of that Word and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And that means our faith will not be shaken in these last days as we head to the end of time. We thank you for understanding that. In Jesus' name we pray. We read again verse 1, 2, and 3. Now faith. And that's what I've been talking about last week. Now faith. Those two first two words. Now faith. Because of that. And you can use that. We'll see you finish tonight. Sometimes we face things in this life. We can come back to that. Now faith will cause us to do things, believe things, and have victory as far as life is concerned. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders retained a good report. And verse 3 gives us an idea where the world say, all of this here, let's give an example of evolution, give example of how we believe it came to existence. We say, no, by faith. And he tells us here, we understand. Did you see that word is? It didn't just say we know. Did you know you can know some things, not understand them? Notice what God said. Notice what the writer said, we. Who are those we? The born-again child of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives in us. He said, by faith, notice again as we read that, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Did you know that's the only way you really understand that? The brilliance of man's mind won't give that to you. In fact, the brilliance of man's mind thinks more or less in the physical world of things he can see, so therefore he's going to come up with things that has to do with the element of man. But he says, we know, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And to understand that means simply this, that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, we said, first of all, last week, faith in Christ starts our relationship with God. We know that. If you got born again, it's called the Holy Spirit drew us to the Lamb of God, and we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The second thing we'll look at quickly is the unbelievers have faith, but it's only faith by sight. And so they get it confused. We say we have faith, but it's faith in spiritual things we can't see with the physical eye. And automatically, that puts a wall up for them because anything they have faith in is something they can see. They have faith the car is going to crank because it cranked yesterday. When you think about this faith, the unbeliever has faith which they put into practice every day. And this type of faith relies on what you can see or what you expect to see rather than just trusting the unseen hand of God for it. This type of faith will never rely on God whom you can't see. It will never go beyond physical senses. Now, for instance, a good example of this, I believe, is you take a person, say, that you're going to go to work for a job somewhere or another. They'd say, well, now, we don't pay every week. We pay every 2 weeks. So that means you're going to have to work 2 weeks before you get paid. That's not faith by spiritual sight. That's faith by physical sight. Because you say, well, in 2 weeks I get that pay. But let me ask you something. Suppose somebody say, I'll tell you what you do. You come work for me 52 weeks out of the year, and after the 52nd week, I'll give you your pay. That takes a little more than physical sight, don't it? But with God, physical sight has nothing to do with whether you do it or not. A heart sometimes, in obedience to the Lord, may determine on things that are conditional. But with faith, it's just simply, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And with faith, we can trust Him and please Him. Whether it be a car or a bank account or promises that are made. And so this type of faith will never rely on God, whom you can't see. It will always have to do with what they can see. So salvation is a gift, and part of that salvation package is the faith that enables us to believe God for all His promises. And what I'm seeing now, I love to do things. I'm working on a message right now. I can't hardly wait to preach it. It's simple this. What God has done in the past, what God is doing now, and what God is going to do in the future. How does that help me? If I can see what God has done in the past and He's done it, I'm giving a preacher message. It may be 6 months before I preach about it. But what God Almighty has already done is enough to prove to me that He's alive and real by faith. But not only what He has done that's documented scripturally, and the scripture said He said He was going to do it, and the scripture said He did do it, and it's in the past. Now, what is He doing now? The scripture says today what He's doing. New Testament tells us that. Not right now. So if God did what He said to do in the past and is doing what He said He'd do now, then one of these days He's told us also in this book things that He's going to do in the future. If He did what He did in the past and He's doing what He's going to do now, you know good and well, after 2/3 of it, He's going to finish the third one. I love that. Come on, preacher, right now. Amen. See, I'm ahead of you a little bit. Maybe I'm too much ahead of you sometimes. But let's go back. To trust Christ as our personal Savior shows that your faith in God is as a creator of this universe. Hebrews 11:3 just told us that. We know that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So, who in their right mind, and I ask the question, who in their right mind would believe that the universe created itself? Well, they say, well, wait a minute. There's a brilliant men who believe that. God says, man, brilliancy, in my own words and reading, we're talking about foolishness, foolish to Him. But what is foolish to Him, to them, God uses the power of God. So I ask this question then, and as I think along this line, who in the right mind would believe that the universe created itself, and yet matter does not have a mind of its own? So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way in the world that it can self-exist itself. It can't create itself because it has no mind. So to will itself into existence is an impossibility. Yay? Do you hear what I said? They're saying that this universe willed itself into a possibility. Because there was a big bang back down or somewhere or another. They can explain that. One person picked up on another's bill, add on to the years. But I'm saying to you, matter has no life. It has no will, has no self-existence. There's nothing that this desk can ever do to come alive by itself in self-existence. So it had to have a mind behind it. And that's what we'll get into as we look later at the self-existence of God. Takes a great deal more faith to believe that matter created itself than have a creator brought into existence with an intelligent design. Because if I would tell you that this book right here itself, back on 100 billion years, a bunch of wood put together, and you know, and it's out there in the mist and the weather and the currents and all those things that took place over a million years, finally brought this desk to life just like it is now. The average person would say, that's foolish. And by the way, they're right. This universe is a whole lot bigger and greater than this desk. And they say, no, that's self-existence. One day the subject of all of this will become true reality, which will never end, And that's what God wants us to understand. Right now, we have the great element of faith to help us. Unlike this physical world, which will pass away, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, he tells us we need that faith. In this life, into him who you can't see, beyond the veil of the flesh, into the spiritual world that was here before matter and flesh ever came into existence. So the Bible talks about great faith in Matthew 15, 28, about the sufficient, the Sarah physician woman, daughter who she was asked to pray for. Matthew 17, 20, talk about faith as a grain of mustard seed. And I thought about that. A grain of mustard seed, something you can't hardly even, you lose it in your hand just about if you had it in your hand. He talked about also Jesus killed a barren fig tree in Jerusalem one time, and he said, so the only way to do that, have faith and not doubt. You see also in Romans chapter 14, verse 19 and 20, they talk about that Abraham didn't have weak faith, he had strong faith. There's a lot of things says about faith in this life. But many times we talk about faith, but folks, I wonder if you look in the Word of God and see what faith says, how many times and how much do we walk by faith? Now, I believe that God exists by faith, and I got to have that before I see anything else. But how much does that faith beyond the veil into him that I can't see my physical eye governs enough that I live a life that others will see the faith in me? Because to be honest, we do most of our things for ourselves rather than for God. And yet, that's something this book teaches we have to watch out for in life. Not only I see that faith opens up when we trust Christ as Savior and thereby walks by faith, but man walks by faith in sight. We walk by faith that has to do with the spiritual world which we cannot see. And so therefore, this faith he's talking about here in chapter 11, we believe that God will and that he spoke space, time, and matter into existence by the word of his mouth. That's exactly what we see in verse 3 of chapter 11. Now, he also tells us that darkness, that is because man's darkness toward Christ who is light, in this world, darkness blinds the eyes of men due to sin. And we understand that. So therefore, the most brilliant man that's ever lived in this world, he could have IQ more than anyone else ever had, and yet be absolutely blind to spiritual knowledge. Because you get, the brilliance of this mind is not the capability of understanding spiritual things. Spiritual things are learned because of the Spirit of God, who wrote this book, inspired it to be written, and lives in us to teach us, as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, all things in the future. And by the way, he'll have to teach it to us as we study it and learn it, or we'll never get it. We'll never get it. And you can't open the eyes in the sense of the flesh, because once that happens and you see it, it's not faith, it's sight. And that's one thing I'm glad to know. One day, everything that I trust the Lord about now by faith, I'm going to, in the glorified body, one day have it open in sight. And then I can see it. But right now, these eyes will never pick up. I see the evidence, but I don't see that which has to do with the spiritual world beyond is by faith. In my eye, in my mind, I set some time and think about that New Jerusalem. And when I read it and think about the street of gold, think about those gates, and think in my mind, I can picture it, the 1,500 cube city and so forth. And it's much better than I can picture it, but that's all I can do. I can picture it. One thing for sure, what I picture, according to what the Lord tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I have not seen, there is not heard, neither in the heart of man. I've said it hundreds of times, and I keep saying it because I have to remind myself, no matter how I picture it, no matter what scene, I have a black light scene I used to use in kids' crusades years ago, that is a scene of heaven where I taught a lesson, and then at the end, the black light scene showed the New Jerusalem. No matter how you picture it, no matter how you try to put it on canvas, there's nothing that you and I do in flesh to make it equal to what it is when we see it in heaven one day. It's much greater than that. And that ought to make us very happy to know that in Jesus Christ we're going there. So God opens the eyes and gives sight to the blind and brings life where there was death. It is through faith that we get approval from God himself, and that comes through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit through his precious word. Now, why not put faith in God then in him in everything? How do I do that, preacher? Well, we're going to do that if we study a few minutes or next few weeks about God's self-existence. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you what's true. When we finish, I hope I say enough things to let you know that God is no ways like you thought he was and like I thought he was. How can you say that? Because he's so much beyond us. We have a little idea in a peanut mind what God is, but when you begin to look at attributes and what God is saying and doing, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be honest with you. Some people act like God ought to be very pleased because he has them to do something. Did you know God didn't need us for anything unless he just decided to use us? Did you know he got along well in the past before there was ever anything created itself? And all the ones who hear God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? And yet, in those times, somewhere or another in the past, his plan and thoughts came up with humanity and everything else that created from angels to there. And it was to bring up, been coming in God's image, and that's man. And everything finally ended up centered around that. When that's over with, then we're going to go back in out of time into eternity. So once you, when we come down to this place to use faith, now faith starts with his son. Now faith, we trust in him. When Satan comes to try to get us sidetracked, now faith. What is that? Resist him. Trust God. When the devil reminds you of the past, tell him, I have faith in Jesus Christ. I am not my own. You can come, but I'm not my own. Satan, I never try to face you face to face in my own thinking. I have no power to do that. You're much more knowledgeable than I am. You know me better than I know myself. You know my weakness, and I know this. You know exactly when to wait for me. You've done it for years, but I want you to know I'm not standing by myself. Thank God, Jesus Christ lives in here. And so does you if you're saved. Now, faith gives me that assurance. And that's what this is telling us here in Hebrews chapter 11. When someone tries to discredit God's word, now faith teaches me the word of God is sure and steadfast. He wouldn't say something that didn't mean. He wouldn't say something that he's going to do that he's not going to do. And he certainly wouldn't say he'd save us if we trust Jesus Christ and then not save us if we do trust Jesus Christ. And by the way, trusting Jesus Christ is more than just words. When he comes against you, now faith, resist him. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. The word of God's our power, just like Jesus used in the New Testament against Satan. When Satan tries to threaten you and I, we're not our own. We're God's, his property. He's promised to never leave us, forsake us. Now faith gives me strength there if I utilize it. Sometimes he blindsides me, and I have to regroup a little bit. Sometimes I'm faced with a crisis, and all of a sudden he throws me aside, and I have a little pity party. But I know this, there's something in there, in turn, that brings me back a realization again, hey, I'm not just saying alone. By the way, everyone in here, if you had inside your home, has felt God's presence like that. You get sidetracked in a minute, and you don't know what to do almost. I remember seeing one time a person lost a child, and the child, they didn't know what to do, and you could just hear them in the closet down before God praying, why God, crying, why God, why God, why God, why God, why God. There's nothing wrong with that, because when they come out of the closet, they were looking still at God. Don't make mistakes. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. God is so personal to you and I. The other night, I was telling about when we was talking about family. It's like when I was talking about when I was a little boy that had a whooping cough. Remember that? And I'd run to my mother and grab hold of her, and she'd say a few things, and I'd go back, and after the third time, I told her, Mother, it seemed like every time I come to you, I get relieved. You know what that's telling me? God, my Father, is the same way. You know what? God knows when we're faced with tragedy in this life that we're flesh, and sometimes we just don't know what to do. Sometimes we're so blindsided, if you know any scripture, it won't come to your mind. I've had people say, Preacher, I just don't even read the Bible now, right now. I'm just not in for that. Well, I don't understand why I feel that way. I do because you're hurting. And God's the Father knows that. And faith that's in you will overcome for it's over with. Because sooner or later, there'll be something come inside. That word will reevaluate and begin to do different things in your life. And you have strength that comes inside. No one else knows but you. And you'll know for a fact God did it. The next thing you know, you're out of the closet giving God praise because you went through a period of time. Could I show you where Jesus did that? You remember when Lazarus died, he stood outside the grave and wept. You know what it is? He loved that family. Now, I've been through all the theological reason. He knew he was going to raise them from the dead, and he wept for the people rather than that. I don't know. It could have been all of that. But I do know this. He stood there when he heard Lazarus had died, and he wept. So whatever everybody else may say about his weeping, one thing had to be, he loved Lazarus. And even though he was going to raise him from the dead, he felt what those sisters felt of him. So I'm telling you, faith will cause this word to enlarge in our heart and life. But there come a time in a crisis that God will come, and that word will override and give you assurance of something that where in turn you don't abandon God. A person not saved will abandon God. A person is saved will run closer to Him, because that is our resting place. That's our hiding place. It's like the cliff in the rock. It's our hiding place, you see. So Satan may try to threaten us, but now faith. There's nothing can hurt us because we're in God's permissive will. Someone said, don't tell me. If you die, they're hurting you. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's like I heard the story that a fella got sick, and they prayed for him. He got better. 10 years later, he got sick again. He died this time and went to heaven. And, of course, it's fictitious in mind, but you can understand what has been said when it was told as an example of something, not a reality, I guess. And when he got to heaven, he said, I don't see why in the world you didn't let me die the first time. You know why? Because he found out dying wasn't as bad as he thought it was. Now, death is the enemy, folks. But God has softened the enemy in our hearts because we know this is not the end. If we were to die and that's it, being alive, I'd be worried. I'd sit up at night. And that person said, that time if I knew I was going to die, I wouldn't show up there. Amen. But it's not that way. God has said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So now faith is a grain of a mustard seed in Christ. It will grow into a reality through faith for God's people. And that's the thing. The world can't see. I don't care what the path that God lets us have to go through in this life. If we do anything for the Lord, it may be a tough path. But once He gets us through the valley or the situation we're in, we'll understand God has enlarged our faith. Because you can't look back at the light in the path without seeing His hand. It's hard when you're crying and your heart's broken and you're taking a step by faith into another step for the Lord when some great heartache takes place. And yet on the other hand, once you look back, you see the Lord has done a mighty, mighty thing. Now, faith, substance things hoped for, evidence things not seen. We understand through faith that the worlds were formed by the Word of God. That settled it for me. What do you mean, preacher? I mean simply this. You don't ask me how this was made? God spoke it in existence. Well, that's just foolish. That's all right. I'll stick by that. Stick by that. No need to discuss it anymore. Now, if you don't discuss how God did it, fine. Don't come telling me how you think evolution did it. Well, that makes you ignorant. That makes me not a fool. Who am I believe? Man of God. And by the way, I believe anyone who will listen to what God has to say will understand sooner or later. God is more powerful than any theory you and I may ever see or be taught. You know why man believes theory sometimes? Because he can't have anything else to actually believe. Now, we come back from leave faith. Through faith, eyes of faith, want to see God accept existing one. And I'll just make a few comments into this tonight. It seems today that many go to church without any genuine desire to meet God or to like being His presence. Now, why is that? Well, think about why you come. I've done that a number of times. Why do you come to church? I come to worship God. But am I worshiping Mo the whole time I'm here? How many times, be honest, you don't have to tell me, God knows already. How many times since I've started tonight that your mind wanders somewhere else? Even mine tries to wander sometimes. I'm doing the teaching. When I look at you, my mind starts wondering what's going on. What I'm saying, we don't, somehow or another, Satan has slipped something to us that when we come together, it's just another drag out time to come to church and say, I've been to church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I understand it correctly, two or three together and this word is open up and the Holy Spirit's there, we're in the very presence of God. Now, I'm a poor teacher, but this book is not a poor book. It's not a poor book. It's not. This is the Word of God. By rights, it's so powerful that we ought to just be able to sit here and read it and do something to it. You know why? There's a time that Israel, they didn't have the Word of God. Came a time they did have the Word of God, and the man of God stood up and made a place higher than others, and they read the Word of God all day long. That's all they did, just read the Word of God. And those people were tickled to death in the Old Testament. God had God's Word back again, and they could hear it just
read.
We have so many copies of it, we hardly ever even opened up to read it as far as daily devotions is concerned. And so they don't meet to delight in God's presence. They don't go to hear from the eternal, everlasting world above. If one could go back in time, and leave you here just a minute what I said a few minutes ago. If one could go back in time, far beyond the point where there was nothing there, no one except God himself, and that means God, Elohim, in the plural, which are coexistence of eternity, and they are eternal divine, perfect God. But in that perfection, they are deity equally, but they function differently. And even back at time before there's nothing else, just a vacuum, nothing whatsoever. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit was there. In deity, they're the equal. But in function to come for what's going to happen in the future, they're different. God the Son is God the Son, and that's his function. God the Father is God the Father, and that's his function. God the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit, and that's his function. That means that each one of these are equal to each other sitting on the throne. And when you talk about God Elohim, you're talking about one that is plural, yet three distinct personalities. On the other hand, though, when it comes to function, God the Father is always the one seen to be the center. God the Son is the one that worked out in the end results to bring the material world and the spiritual world, physical and material world, together with the image of God's man made from the physical world. And God the Holy Spirit would be the one that would come. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the Word of God like we have today. People themselves, even the tabernacle and temple there, and the priests had the Word of God, but they did have, the folks in rank didn't have the Word of God. So it was very skimpy in what they heard, except when they went down to the temple. And then God would send a prophet, or then he'd give some information somehow or another when the time was ready. But in the New Testament, we have the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And he indwells us now. Now, this is what bothers me, folks. And you may not like this, but I climb charts the way I am. When a person comes telling me that God has revealed them something different than's in that book today because of our age, just like they did in the Old Testament, I don't believe that. I'm sorry if that makes me little in your eyes. Because I believe it all in my heart. If that be the case, we don't need the Holy Spirit today. Just go ahead and do like you did in the Old Testament. No, God stopped what he had in the Old Testament for a person. Because in the new creation, he gave us his Holy Spirit and his word in us. So now as I'm going to look at God, I've got to see him in who he is. And I've got to see the picture of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I can understand their function. Then I'll understand where I fit into that in his plan and purpose in the redemption that he did for me and did for you in this particular life. So when you go back and you see beyond the point years ago, except God himself, there one would see only God. Hear this now. We're going back to time to explain him best we can, and it will not sufficient because he's greater than this. You take each one of these words and do that. You go back in time, far beyond, where there was nothing except God himself. And there you would see God, self-sufficient, uncreated, unborn, unmade, God alone, living, eternal, and self-existence right by himself, even though three are as one. Ever lost you? That means that a time before creation, if we know it in time, space, and matter, there was nothing but a vacuum and God himself. You blow your mind? That means as far back as you go, through ever and ever stop, he was there by himself until he created. Sometimes say, heard people say, well, you know, I just don't think you're going to get along nowadays. It won't fuss. Don't tell me. He did it many years before we ever came to existence. But why then he would bring us? He had a great plan. God is a God of love. We'll look at that. And so then we see, and people are so covered up in matters of the world and matters of time that they forget that at one point God lived, God dwelt, God existed, ladies and gentlemen. And he loved without any support whatsoever. He loved without any help whatsoever. There was no creation. For some reason, some people think that God just couldn't get along without them, yet God has never had to receive anything from anybody, and there is no one and nothing to whom God has ever had to be in debt to. Why? God is self-existence. He don't need you and I, but He loves us. Isn't that amazing? I don't know too much that I could love someone if I don't need them. What about you? You know, this book's in the mirror, isn't it? That's what James said. We look at it, we see ourselves. I may say some things today but you want to hear. But folks, listen, this book is revealed to me who I am or is not. And I've got to find out some things about myself that be sure that God can speak to me in His Word to move and do those things that need to be done to cut away those things may be hindrances in particular life. So I know this God is the self-existent one. Now, I start out with this now. I know this God who He is, the greatest He is. But being self-existent, that means He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. The only thing about it is, He created a situation that where He wants to use us. Never before in all the creation He did, even when He started with matter, time, and space, He didn't create anything else in His image. Amen? Man is the only one He created in His image. Not one angel was in His image. Not one beast, not one animal, not one bird, not one thing in creation on this earth did God create in His image. Except, I'm looking at Him, man. And man means man and woman, Adam. So I got to start back there. If He started out, then why? Why am I here? People ask that all the time. And they're thinking about all kinds of things. I'm here because God set up a system. And it's working now 6,000 years later. Birth always comes the same way. It's working 6,000 years later. And it will work till God closes this thing out. So I go back and I want 4 points. We build, and I thought about this knowledge. What is knowledge? We're growing grace and knowledge of the Lord. We build on what we know. Please hear this. I learned this in physical life. When I was born into physical flesh, a little babe, I began to grow, and I build on what I know with what I need to know. I can't move in the cradle of a baby as I grow in spiritual size and also academic hope and physical size. But now I build on what I know but what I need to know. And that means today, I hope I'm a little smarter than I was when I was 5-year-old. But I needed what I had at 5-year-old. I hope I'm a little smarter than when I was at 15 or 16-year-old. Or 17 or 18-year-old. And I found out I wasn't as smart as I thought I was at that age. But you got to get older to feel that way, right? Adults. I hope I'm a little smarter now than I was when I was 30 years old. I hope I learned more about what God means in a family than I did when Bar and I got married 100 years ago. What am I saying, folks? What I know, we build on what we know, already build on with what we need to know to broaden, right? And that's what I've started here with faith, understanding that we can't grasp it in entirely, but it helps us see a spiritual world that the world cannot see. There's a barrier of flesh between us and the spiritual world. Now, God can come across that barrier anytime He wants to. He can take us across if He wants to. The only problem about today, you're having people who said they God took them across, came back, and they're telling everything opposite of what the Scripture says. Oh, yeah, so-and-so died. Hey, God, he saw this, he saw that, and he saw this and that. And here's it. And you get reading this thing, I thank the Lord, the book Dan gave me. I read most of that through, a fellow who studied this. And most of the time, what they say completely contradicts the Word of God. Folks, this is the Word of God, and anything that contradicts it can't be true. I don't care if it's talking about the life after this or this life. The only thing about it is, you and I are about the only ones, the church is the only one. The true church is the only one that believes that. And therefore, it's our standard. Father in heaven, as we open this up now, we're going to look at You, Lord. We need Your help. We're going to really look at God, the self-existent one, and some things about you and characteristics you've given the Word of God that if you're not careful, you read over it. And Lord, as some give testimony Sunday night, that they learn much in studying the Scripture. Lord, you know some churches have Hallelujah chorus all the time, and maybe they enjoy that. But Lord, I thank God that I can feel the presence of God, but I thank God that I can learn. I thank God that this book is worthy of studying. I thank God's action verb. You said study to make prove yourself before you. And Lord, I pray you'd help the study beat that. I don't have many more years on this earth, Lord, but I pray that the studying of ours, and my wife knows it more than anyone else than you, the study of the Word of God is the most important thing in the world, and never study it to keep it in for selfishness because it'll puff you up. We have to study to give it. And Lord, we can't give it without you. And I can try my best to do this book unless the Holy Spirit uses me and the weakness that I am. And the Holy Spirit uses what's said to the heart that wants to receive it. It doesn't do much for us because Satan has snatched it away. That seed is easy to fall by the wayside. It's easy to fall on stony ground. It's easy to be outward. The enemy can catch it away and not do what it ought to do. Lord, I pray somehow or another that word, the precious word of God, without error, can sink into our hearts, not to make us super Christians, but make us, Lord, to be to walk in these last days for your glory. I may not see it because it may be a little early, Lord. I believe the day is going to come that Christians who believe this book, if they even have it, are going to find themselves in harm's way, not because they're evil people, but because they believe in the true and living God. And Lord, if we don't have more than what we have now, it's just not going to be what we should be. Help this book make us not boastful. Lord, we still know if we got our just due, we'd be in hell, but thankful. Be ready to give an answer why we believe what we believe, because we've studied it when it's not got a cloak of religion, put it on Sunday and take it off Monday morning. It's because this book becomes part of our life. We literally partake of it spiritually as food for the new man. And Lord, when that happens, we have that cutting away, circumcision of the flesh that you said it would do, like Israel did physically. The Word of God will do spiritually to help us walk more for you. And even then we'll have shortcomings, Lord, but it won't be like the world. Give us a vision, Lord, who you are, what you're doing, that we might see you through eyes of faith. And we ask that for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.